Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
What would happen if we all tried to be like Santa and learn to give as only he can give of ourselves, our talents, our love, and our hearts? Maybe if we could all learn Santa's beautiful lesson, maybe there would finally be peace on earth and goodwill toward man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to A Very COVID Christmas. We have a very special show today. This is our holiday decoration show. And I believe that we may have the two most well-suited guests for this topic in the history of all of the holidays. We'll get to them in just a minute. But if you're a fan of reality-based competition Christmas shows, you are in store for a very exciting show. Of course, I'm joined by some of my co-hosts today. Erin Caswan, how are you today?
Hi, guys. Very excited for today.
Elf Erin, as we call you. Good to see you. And of course, the Queen of Hallmark, Chelsea Overrocker.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here. Talk Christmas.
Yes. Chelsea, I'm excited for the Hallmark download after our conversation with these two amazing guests. And of course, the two amazing guests I'm talking about are Brady Connell and Carter Osterhaus. They are two of the most important cogs in the machine of the Great Christmas Light Fight, which, if you haven't seen it, is this amazing feel-good competition reality show all around Christmas decorations and Christmas lights. And I don't know if I can think of two more well-suited guests for our show. So Carter and Brady, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us. Glad to be here.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it. It's good to be here.
So we were talking at the top of the show. You guys are one of the few brave productions to, less and less few, right? We're seeing a lot of productions go back, but of course we are in the middle of a global pandemic, and you all have still been filming with responsible COVID restrictions. And Brady, as the EP of the show, I'd love to hear, you've had quite an impressive career with reality, but I'm sure this is new territory even for you.
Yeah, well, COVID can't stop Christmas. So, there's just no way.
That's perfect. But
we did have to put forth a pretty robust, COVID plan for Fremantle, who's the studio, and for ABC to agree to let us go back out in the field. And so there are a lot of protocols that were put into place in order for us to now shoot season 9. So we're shooting season 9 right now, which will air next Christmas in 2021. So the show that you see this year, 2020, was shot last year. So you'll still see high fives and Carter hugging everybody. And, next year we'll feel a little bit different, but the spirit is still there and the great displays are still there.
I love that. Brady, I got to tell you, one of the big thesis statements of our show is we ask the question every week, can Christmas save us from COVID? And based on your response, I believe maybe it can. Carter, this is, you're a veteran of the Great Christmas Light Fight. What's it like diving into this new season, having, a number of seasons under your belt?
Look, I feel like this season, we always say this, but I feel like it's so true. The stuff you're going to see on TV this year is bigger and it's brighter than ever before. And, you think people just say that when you hear people say that, I'm like, oh, they're totally just saying that. But it's true. Like the stuff we have this year, I was shocked. I'll just tell you, there's one episode in particularly that you're going to watch this year. It starts December 9th on ABC, but one episode where there's a parade. Like these people went all out and have a parade. And you think, okay, a parade of lights. And I'm a huge fan of parades, but these guys literally took like golf carts. And then if you can imagine, so golf carts this big, and then you can imagine they do a wire frame for like crazy fire trucks and horses. And so when it's pitch black out, and then you look and you see these life-size fire trucks and horses and carriages and monster trucks, but they're not there. They're just lights. And it was incredible. The engineering of it, the creativity was awesome, just out of this world. And I feel like that's what a lot of what you're going to see, because obviously we've been shooting the show now. We're shooting right now the 9th season, but we've been shooting the show for a while, and people kind of know what they need to do to get on the show, to do something different, to do something creative, to do something that we've never seen before. So that way, as judges, we don't, you know, sort of, you know, kind of keep awarding the same winner, but they are always different and they are always bigger and brighter.
Aaron, you did some research today watching the Great Christmas Light Fight, and I'd love to hear if you have any questions for our friends Brady and Carter.
I did. So I wanted to know, what is your favorite single decoration that you've seen throughout all the seasons? Because there's some obviously very crazy ones, but I want to know if there's something that like sticks out in your mind as your favorite.
Oh, man, it's going to be tough. I feel like, look, I'm a DIY junkie. And when I see stuff that people make, when they're just like, people, you're like, what, how, you know, how did you make, you know, a lot of people buy stuff, right? Because that's very easy and still very holiday-ish and cheerish and fun. But when you see people go to these lengths of taking like an old lawnmower and some lights and a ladder, and they create something that is unlike anybody else's, I just get so excited about that. I get so interested in it, because as a builder, I want to know how they made it and how they, you know, created it and who came up with it, you know, because it's pretty impressive.
For sure. Yeah. I think, yeah, definitely the DIY stuff is cool. It's really, like you said, anyone can buy anything, but yeah, DIY stuff is awesome. I also wanted to know, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for our audience who's missing the heartbeat of our show, who's of course Kay Montgomery. Kay, you've arrived. It's very good to see you.
It's great to be here. So good to see you guys.
Definitely. Aaron, I cut you off. I want to let you finish that.
No. So I was just wondering, so these houses, it comes from, it's definitely like a community event. Like when you watch the show, you see all these people that come from so far away every year to see these houses. So do you think that like this show has had an impact on communities a lot? Like, I think, is that something that you see a lot, like when you go to these shows, and how is it kind of different this year? Are people still coming and traveling super far to see these houses?
Yeah, I'll let Brady answer the second part of that question. I feel like the community is very much, it's so real. You know, even as we're shooting right now, I'll just give you a brief story, which is what we're shooting right now. This is not going to air till next year, but somebody had actually, so like somebody randomly stole somebody's reindeer, like they're from their display. And it was so bad. It was so ridiculous. But the people in the community rallied around and purchased a bunch of new reindeer to put up on there. And at that point, like to your point, it's such a thing for people. And sometimes even these owners or the people who are putting this display, they don't even realize, they know it's big. But then when they realize like, oh, word got out that their stuff was stolen, and then people put in money because it's so, they, you know, kids, they grow up from being 2 to 10 years old. And we hear all these stories all the time where they've been coming to this display for the last 8, 10, 12, 15 years. And it's so important that they put it on every year. So yes, very much community. And that's, you know, that's why I feel like with what we're going through right now in 2020, which is just bananas, I feel like this show is just, you know, it's a little simple piece of normalcy to realize, hey, we will get back there, everybody. It's going to happen. It's going to take some time, but just to get people out of the mindset of what we've been going through, that the humanity, the love, the community, it does exist and it's still out there.
Awesome. Yeah.
I love that.
What a perfect show to have, especially during COVID, because it's something that is not only jolly, but it shows that we're all together. And what's the best way to connect with each other than through Christmas decorations?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So well said. And that's a high ringing endorsement from Chelsea Overrocker. If you guys ever had a Hallmark trivia question and asked her, she would no doubt know the answer. Are you guys Hallmark Christmas movie watchers? Or?
Yeah, by default.
Oh my gosh, course, really, Brady? Right. Yes.
I'm a 17-year-old daughter, so you know how that is.
Oh yeah.
Really great with the lineup, especially this year.
And the Hallmark movies are also, you know, a lot of them are community based. If you really, as a storyteller, you know, you guys are storytellers too, but you definitely do analysis, you know, like why is something working? And I used to do Extreme Makeover Home Edition also, remember that show? And when we would sit around and talk about it, we'd be like, you know, it's about the community. That ultimately, And same with Christmas Light Fight. Every single, I mean, I would say 9 out of 10 of the homeowners that we talk to, and we ask them, well, so why do you do this? The first word that comes out of their mouth is the community and the kids. They just love mm-hmm. the faces mm-hmm. of the kids. They love to hand out hot chocolate to the community, and they know they want to make other people happy, you know, through their art, basically. And that's what motivates them. And I love that. You can't argue with that. It's and so we have had in the past, obviously we've had big crowds. And so, you know, you see the kids jumping up and down, even the dogs' tails are wagging, everything's exciting. And so it is different this year for season 9, which will air next year. We actually decided to do it without crowds, and it's working out just fine. Like, it's actually turning into a very intimate discovery of these displays with Carter and Tanya mm-hmm. on the road. And then, you know, hopefully next year we'll be all back to the crowds again, but we certainly didn't want to skip a Christmas because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Brady, it makes me wonder, as a, you know, a high-ranking TV producer and, you know, someone who loves, as you said, telling stories, in some ways, do you feel like the pandemic has challenged you in ways that have actually improved the production? You know, some producers, directors, and above the line people are talking about, as hard as it's been, there's been some creative boundaries that have been pushed and unlocked because of the challenges that the pandemic has presented.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's true, you know, for other businesses, but I have found after 30 years working in reality television, which is kind of, you know, obviously the lower end of budgets and all that, but when the budget is squeezed and when the weather comes in and it causes problems or somebody's sick or whatever, whenever something is going wrong, it really elevates everybody's game. And I love that about television and just the entertainment industry in general. The creative people will really buckle down and figure, okay, how are we going to do this? And that's what happened with COVID. I mean, as soon as we all heard that, like, the industry was shutting down, I was like, we're going to figure out how to keep Christmas Light Fight on the air, because I do not want to skip a year. It might go away forever if that were to happen. So we all got together, you know, and we're creative on how to do it, to the point where, I mean, Carter was creative too. He actually decided to drive around in an Airstream this year to go from state to state so that he would limit his exposure, you know, to people. And we had crew, you know, renting their own individual cars so that they could increase their ability to socially distance. And we even had, you know, everyone was eating lunches in their cars during the meal break. And that was all discussed. And we decided this is what we're going to have to do in order to stay there. So those are logistical things, but creatively, you know, when we see, I just saw the first couple cuts of our first episode and there's no crowd. And we did it in a way, we have a really cool transition shot. And I'm like, this totally works. Oh my God, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is we could have been doing this show from the very beginning. It would totally be fine. But I would never have thought of doing the show this way had it not been for COVID. So it's a long answer to say yes. Whenever there's constriction, it actually usually increases the creativity, and it always works out fine.
Anything we can do to look at a glass half full of this year, I think, is valuable. So I really appreciate that, Brady. Carter, you know, as a not only well-respected and well-known DIY expert, but someone who judges the premier Christmas light decoration show, do you feel pressure to really deliver in your own neighborhood, especially, you know, as a new family man?
That's hilarious. Okay, so we're doing press right now, and everybody keeps saying, what does your house look like? Same, you know, what have you been doing? Well, like, look, at the end of the day, I have still not been home since October. Like Brady said, I have been living out of an Airstream since then. And I just, as of yesterday, was able to borrow a friend's house who's out of it for a couple weeks. So I got the taste of a good life. So I couldn't go back to the Airstream, but still have not been home and won't be home for another like week and a half. And so my wife and I, speaking of like COVID, you know, we kind of, she's shooting a TV show right now. And so we both decide, like, look, this is going to be the longest we've ever been away from each other. And we're just going to, like, suck it up. We're very fortunate that we get to keep working, and it's going to be tough. And we have a little 4-year-old and stuff, but let's just, like, figure out that this is the way it's going to be. And with that being said, neither of us have been home for a while. So yeah, that's my excuse for not having any lights up. I'm sure right when I get home, I will throw a few lights up. But it doesn't even do it justice, to tell you the truth. Because as the host of a show that's so recognizable, people are going to make fun of me either way. And, you know, they're going to say, dude, you should have done a better job than this. I've got a lot of ideas, but just I'm not executing right now.
Carter, you should just get one Christmas light and just put like the dinkiest light on like a leaf and just be like, this is all I'm doing this year.
Absolutely. Totally. I think that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you, I'm sure you've been inspired that you could decorate your own home with this. But in past years, has there been one decoration that you've seen that you want to put in your own home because you love it so much?
Yeah, I mean, you know, going back to Aaron's question or thought is like, I feel like when I see DIY stuff, I take photos of them. I'm like so into it. I'm like, whoa, so you got this, what? You know, and I remember we were shooting, I think, in Kentucky 4 years back, and this guy had this tiny little, I don't know if Brady, if it was Kentucky, if you remember this, Southern State, and this guy had these, and they won, that house won, and they had like a little makeshift ladder for some animals on it, or some toy soldiers, I think it was, and he had like, I mean, it was just, he had these alligators, and it was just, again, like, why do you put alligators in Christmas? I don't know, but it worked and they were all like moving and everything. And when I see stuff like that, I'm just like, I could build this. I could totally build it. And I get so excited and I want to do it myself. And, you know, I just think that the length that people go to, especially on the show, is just, it's mind blowing. And it really is. And Brady and his team have done such a great job of finding these. You'd think year after year, like it's going to run out, but it doesn't. Like people are just, they're still creating and they're still coming up with ideas that we've never seen. You always think, again, because we don't know what those lights look like until they turn on for the first time. Mm-hmm. And you always think you're going to see a lot of the same stuff. And you just don't. It's just shocking. I'm always waiting to see the same display, but you see something different. You notice something that's a little bit more creative and outstanding than, you know, the episode before.
I think the key to that variety is that people bring who they are to their display. Mm. And I really love that. Like if someone is a, you know, a steel fabricator or whatever, you know, then that person might do a huge Ferris wheel and a big carousel or something and make it themselves. And then there's some really simple stuff. Like we had there's a home on actually this year that you'll see. It was just she has a beautiful garden, you know, she just has a garden and she's got apple trees. So she made apples, you know, like red apples out of lights and she put them in a basket and the whole thing lights up. And then all like the corn, she made corn stalks and corn ears of corn out of lights. She made grapes. And then she had like an artichoke plant and she made an artichoke out of lights on top of the actual artichoke plant. And I just thought, wow, she loves gardening. And so she just sort of took herself and put it in there. And we actually, this year we have one that it's kind of similar, a woman who just loves flowers and she loves nature. And she just, her whole front lawn was filled with thousands of flower lights and they were beautiful. She put these huge like mountains behind it on the side of her house. And so that's just who she was. And I think that's the key is that these really are artists. They're artists who want to share who they are with the public. And so it's always going to be different. We're blessed to have a show where we will always see something different because of these unique talented craftspeople.
Yeah, that's awesome. That. And it's so nice that you guys get to reward these people with the prize money. Cause like, this is an expensive thing that these people are doing. They put their, you know, their hearts and souls into it and it takes all year long, I'm sure, to prepare. So it's so awesome that you guys get to reward them at the end of that.
Yeah. I sometimes have to remind them, you know, that they are sharing, like they don't get, they think, wow, you know, 1,000 people drove by this week and looked at our house. They don't get that when they're on our show now, there are going to be, you know, several million people are going to see their artistry. And we have to sort of remind them of that, that they are, they're exponentially sharing themselves with the world. And who knows? I mean, this show airs in multiple countries around the world. It airs on airlines. And so they're touching a lot of people. And I always tell the crew, I don't have to tell Carter and Tanya because they remember it all the time, but the crew forgets because it's cold and they're working hard. I'm like, you guys, just remember the family of five with the three little kids that are sitting there, you know, during the holidays, eating dinner or whatever, and enjoying the show and feeling good about Christmas, about the holidays. And maybe they have a little bantering about who they think should win. But at the end of the day, when the hour's over with, that family has had a nice, you know, bonding experience together with the holidays. And so that motivates us as craftspeople behind the camera.
If that's not like the most beautiful summation of making television, I'd love that, Brady. Kay, I wanted to make sure if you had anything. These guys are about to go, but it's good to see you.
Yeah, I was just wanting some advice. I mean, they've seen so many different things. They're talking about how unique some things are and how you have to put yourself into it. I wonder if they had any tips for a first-time house lighter like me. This will be our very first time putting lights out front. And we want to start kind of doing baby steps. Do you guys have any advice for me and my family of four?
Actually, Brady probably decorates his house more than I decorate mine. So, but what I've seen, if you want to be on the show, obviously creative, you know, creative genius always works, but, you know, it's like one thing that we look for as a judge is we look for not to say, Kay, that you have to do this, but, we kind of look for that. We do look for that negative space, you know, spaces that are maybe not filled in. Because it's like, you know, if you're designing a home or an interior, you want to make sure that there's good balance and the energy feels right. So if a light display shows up for the first time and we see it, we're like, whoa, this is amazing. But we can kind of notice those spaces that maybe they should have filled in a little bit more. And you know, the perimeter of homes, obviously use what you have, you know, like if you have like a big pine tree or if an oak tree or like a fence or, you know, some perimeter or like the trim of your home, you know, you try to use those accents and accentuate them within the exterior of your home, because that's what you're, you know, dealt with. And then you want to get onto the show, you got to go the next step and start really, you know, mass producing and building and adding, you know, 100,000 lights. And then that'll get you.
Well, I'm a first timer. I'm starting small.
Keep it simple. Don't go too crazy. Know,
right?
Because the community may really love it. And then they expect you to do it every year. So, you know, be careful. It's like having a dog. You don't have a dog for a year. You have a dog for 10 years. So you start to
too difficult. I love that. Carter, one of our listeners, before you go, I have to ask, one of our listeners, Elizabeth, found out you were going to be on the show, and a little unrelated was like, you know, Carter has notoriously good hair. And I have to ask, as someone who has like crazy, shaggy, black, dark hair, like,
are you,
you
got good hair? Come on.
It's not Carter Osterhaus hair though. So I have to wonder, like, what's the secret? What do you do?
My mom, I think it's Mexican genes, and my mom, she has, all of my family has pretty, pretty healthy, amount of hair on their heads. So I think we give the nod to mom.
Nothing special though. No special shampoo or conditioner or anything.
No, not at all. Not at all. Brady, did you notice I just got a cut today? Oh, I don't know if you even noticed that. Hopefully it's still, it plays well for the rest of the season.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it's been so much fun to talk with both of you. And like you said, Brady, I don't know if there is a better antidote to a challenging year than a good spirited network television show about Christmas lights. I just feel like this is the perfect solution that families can tune into just to, like you said, feel like it's a little normal again. You know, I feel like if Christmas can do that for us, then there's nothing better. So for both of you, just remind me when this is airing and how people can watch it.
Yeah, it's going to be on December 9th and then the three on ABC. And we will be on for the 3 weeks leading up to Christmas time. And so it's a 2-hour block. So Tanya will have 1 hour and then I'll have the next hour and then we'll switch off the next week and then the week after as well. But again, it's just like, it's the great, you know, like it's a good, like as Brady was saying before, family get together, like a family show that you can get excited about. You can watch this show and then you can also listen to Sia, the Sia Christmas mix. That's one of my favorite Christmas mix.
Love Sia.
We have that in the house all the time. Yeah.
It's a great album, a great modern classic, I would say. If anybody
is listening who wants to actually apply to be on the show, it's lightfightcasting.com. And we do get, you know, random applications, we get nominations. People, if you know about a place that you think would be good, go to lightfightcasting.com and you never know, they might be on the show next year.
Brady, given our audience, I am anticipating not only a spike in applications based on who listens to this show, but maybe a couple winners already in our pool. So I'm saying it now. You heard it first on a very COVID Christmas right here. All right. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. This has been a blast.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you
Merry
for having
Christmas.
Us.
Nice to meet you guys.
All right, see you guys. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Well, that was so much fun having those guys in the show. What'd you all think?
Amazing.
It was so, so nice.
Awesome.
If I didn't live in an apartment complex, I totally would apply to be on that show. But Kay, you should apply.
I'm baby stepping, Chelsea. I can't come right out the gate. I need a couple years, girl. my this year, and I got I went to Thoroughbred Lights and saw a bunch of houses. I sent you guys that video. That was amazing. I was like, whew, we are not ready. We are not ready for this.
Okay, well, maybe we can all make it a group effort, like depending on where we are or for next year, we could all help you decorate your house.
Yeah. I love that. I love that idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Decorate my house, yes.
Well, that's the thing. It is crazy expensive because I had a family friend who used to do lights. I don't think they even do it anymore. It's so much work. You have to work on it all year round. It's crazy expensive. You have to like black. He used to do one of those shows that like goes with music, and you would do a couple shows every night. And it's like, you have to black out your windows. You can't turn on any lights in your house because it like ruins the effect. You constantly have people like driving by. You have to get all these permits. And he used to like collect money just to donate. But it's like, it is crazy. So big props to the people on these shows, because it really is like a full-time job.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's insane. The place, the Thoroughbred Lights where we go, they used to have people in their driveways, like selling hot cocoa and different kinds of treats, popcorn, churros. It used to be so fun. It was really a great community feel. But about 3 years ago, the cops shut it down and said that they couldn't sell food anymore because they didn't have permits. So it was sad because it felt like you were giving back to them for them giving to us. And so now we just feel kind of greedy and like takers. My daughter said yesterday, like, how do they pay for all of this? And we were like, out of their own pockets. Like, we wish there was a way where we could, you know, help them out. But they got shut down by the police. So, yeah, it's kind of hard for them to fundraise or create an income that way.
That stinks.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up the... Oh, Erin, I cut you right
I was out. Just going to say, but that just goes to show you there are nice people in the world who just do things just to make other people happy, not because they're getting anything out of it.
Yeah. Yes. That's such a good point, Erin. Yeah.
That is how you bring it back, Erin Kaswan. I love it. Speaking of Christmas decorations, we had two experts on, but I'd say, you know, we're experts ourselves, and as such, we're going to have a little conversation about Christmas decorations this year. You know, one thing I want to start by asking is, when you all are looking at what you think is a beautifully designed Christmas decorated home, we'll start with the outside. What are you looking for? Like, what are your criteria? Let's start with you, Chels.
Yes. Well, for the trees, I would like to have the lights. I think red, just for some reason, I like red and trees. I think that really stands out. So that's what my mom does. Mm. And then we have these reindeer that are made of lights, and then they like move with their head up and down. And I think that's fun. Oh. And then it's really cool when you put like the wreath on the door, but then if you have like the two lights by your garage door too, to put like wreaths on them as well. I think that's so much fun. And then of course I cannot decide. I, you know, when I was younger, I loved the multi lights, but now that I'm getting older, I like the clear lights. Like, if you guys could see in the background of my room, like I have the clear lights, and but when I was little, I always liked multicolored lights. So we'll see. And then, so I got the best decoration. This is so cute. So it's a snowman and it lights up. And I feel like I need to show you guys.
Yeah,
I know you guys
are seeing
the audio part. Oh my gosh, it's right next to me.
We'll describe it for our listeners. Go get it.
Okay,
let me get it. I love listening to Chelsea talk about Christmas. It just makes me so happy.
It is pretty.
She's just one of those people when you can genuinely tell when she's actually happy to talk about something and not just talking about it because she has to. And most things she's happy to talk about.
I think that's very well observed, Erin, and I totally agree. All right, Chelsea's hopping back on the mic. She's putting the earbuds in.
I had to unplug it, but imagine this light up. It's so cute. My friend made it. So what you do is you just buy like clear Christmas lights. Mm-hmm. You just put them in here. You just stuff it in here. And then this is like the little body of the snowman. And then I love pink. That's why she got me a pink headset. So it has its own little hat.
Oh my gosh.
And then it has a little scarf. And if you guys are like sports fans, my mom has one just like this, except it's a Bronco one. So she loves the Broncos for Denver. But
I love that.
So I love homemade gifts that my friends make me. And then because it adds more of a personal touch. But I really do appreciate that, especially, you know, like with the Christmas tree, like having like those nice ornaments that you get, like, okay, but I really like those personal touches. I think that adds a lot of character to trees too. So that's how I decorate. I love that.
I love it. I want to return to the Christmas tree conversation in just a minute, because I think it's a very important one. But in the meantime, in terms of outdoor lights, Kay, I'll throw it to you. As a first timer, as you mentioned, do you have any preemptive plans?
Yeah, we already got a giant box and we're going all white because we're going to cover our tree. But I will say, I appreciate all different colors because when we went on our Christmas drive yesterday to the thoroughbred lights, I appreciated someone did their whole house in blue and white. It was a Frozen thing. Everything was white and they had Anna and Elsa placed throughout the yard and Olaf. But then at the same time, we drove through another part and someone had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, a bunch of cutouts, and it was all multicolored. And I love both. So I can't be like, I like the elegance, you know, because I was like, oh, is that Michelangelo? Stop playing. Like,
oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Erin, what's your philosophy on outdoor Christmas lights?
I love that. I am a person, as you could probably tell by everything about me, I love the cheesiest stuff. I love like super out there, gaudy. Like I can appreciate a good like classy display where it's like all white and very sleek. But like, I also love when someone just has like a dinosaur with a Santa hat in their yard that has nothing to do with anything, but it's just so fun. Like I'm a big inflatable fan. I feel like I would never have them at my actual house because I would just be so afraid that something would happen to them. Like they'd blow away. But I think it's so funny. And it's like, people have the craziest inflatables. Like I love when you drive by someone's house and like you said, like they have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or like some crazy thing that it's like, you're probably the only person that bought that and you're the only one that's into that. But it's so, you can just tell that they are so passionate about it. So I am a huge fan of just like crazy out there, goofy stuff. And that goes to the same with inside too. Like I like when people's houses are very sleek, but I also like when their tree has like an ornament that they made in kindergarten that's like falling apart and is so ugly, but it's like cute in a way because, you know, you can tell it's personal. So that's my philosophy. I think anything goes. If you are a person that wants to look like your house was like came out of a Martha Stewart magazine, props to you. That's not the kind of person I am though.
I love that. This is going to surprise you all. Given my personality, most people would anticipate that I probably fall in the same philosophical category as Erin, but I'm kind of a Christmas light snob, you guys. And I'm getting, I know. I love just a soft, kind of all white, elegant Christmas display, sort of the Martha Stewart vibe you're talking about. I'm not going to fault you if you're going for the outlandish, but to me, it doesn't conjure the same intimacy that I feel like a beautiful soft white display does. And maybe that's part of the way that I grew up. Traditionally, what our family would do is just a bunch of just soft white Christmas lights with the icicle lights as well. And then our window at the Christmas tree had the multicolored lights. So it's just a little splash of color in the bay window. I feel like that was, you know, everyone's bias toward whatever they grew up with. So that's my outdoor Christmas light philosophy. And I'd love to hear what our audience thinks. One more important question for you all. There's been this new emerging trend of outdoor Christmas lights where it's the LED kind of Christmas lights. Can you picture they almost have like a kind of a blue tone to them, even though it's white. Let me see if I can find, I'm curious what you all think of that because I have opinions.
I'm so glad you asked this, Jeff, because my mom is decorating the house right now. She's getting all ready for me to come back and she knows how much I love Christmas lights. So she's putting that in my room. But she was saying, okay, we have the LED lights and then just like the regular ones. So she took a picture and both of them were light up. And I said, the regular ones. I said, it just seems more Christmassy to me. So that's my opinion.
For sure. I love like a warm Christmas light glow. Yes. Like I do not like the, I mean, I think the blue definitely have their place. Like you said, like a Frozen theme. Like, I think that's really cool, but especially inside. Exactly. Like the ones you're showing this stuff, we can post a picture on Instagram as well. But yeah, they don't feel as cozy to me. Like they don't feel as homey and warm. Like they're just, I think it's kind of be kind of cool outside, but yeah, for inside 100%, like the yellowy white is my preference.
Yep.
Totally agree.
I hadn't noticed this, guys. I'm freaking out now. I wonder what house I bought. This with my crass, uncouth white Christmas lights. I gotta check it out once we get done with this. Guys, I think I might have bought the LEDs. I didn't know there was like a real difference. But looking at this picture, I can totally see the difference now.
You know, I think they each conjure their own tone. I'll let you hop in a second, Erin. I feel like the soft white ones, like you mentioned, are more like the cozy one, but there is something kind of like sophisticated and kind of like chilly in an interesting way about the kind of hard LED white lights. To me, it's kind of like the White Witch versus Santa Claus. Like they're both very Christmassy, but they each have a very distinct tone. That's my thought.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think either one can work as long as you don't, I think mixing them together is where you run into problems. As long as you have one consistent kind, but if you have them right next to each other, then I think it looks weird.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Hard agree on that one. Now we're going to talk about some inside Christmas lights. So Chelsea and Aaron, you've let us know where you stand on the like tacky construction paper Christmas ornament debate. Hey, what is your thought on like kind of homemade ornaments?
Guys, I really don't have a choice because I have these kids here. Over Christmas, I thought we were going to be able to do like classy Christmas, you know, because they're older now. And I was like, oh, we could do any way we want. And I had looked at all these things on Pinterest. And then when push came to shove, the kids were like, we want our own ornaments and we want our own stocking. And they didn't want the like cute coordinated Christmas. So, I mean, you know, most of what I do for Christmas is for kids and tradition. So I just let it ride. I was like, okay, I'm not a mom that's like, it has to look this way and it has to be this way. You know, it's really for the family. So if they want the tree that isn't as classy looking because they want a ton of old ornaments, and that's what it has, a ton of old ornaments, then I'm cool with it. My brother sent me a picture of his tree and he really likes, he went with the Tiffany and Company theme. So he has a blue tree and it's really fancy, but it's just him and his girlfriend. He doesn't have any kids. So I have to see a tree like that and think like one day that'll be me when I'm an empty nester. They'll come home from college and be like, what happened to her? They're in a box, you know, like, I don't know.
My mom has totally embraced the empty nester Christmas spirit. She actually, if you want to hear about like a very COVID Christmas event, the town we grew up in was called Bay Village, Ohio, which is just like picture all the gazebos, all the white picket fences. They did a Christmas house tour that my mom was one of the stops on. So it's like you go to different homes around the community and look at. So it has become, it's a beautiful home, but it's almost too Hallmark in a way. Like it's almost a magazine style Christmas home now. And Kay, as much as you say you want to embrace like the empty nester Christmas where it's like a beautiful department store Christmas tree, you lose out a little bit. I'll say it.
Oh, you better hope your mom ain't listening. You'll be in trouble with your friend. I want to see pictures of your mom in her Hallmark house. Kids are why you can't have anything nice. So I'm not believing you, Jeff. I'm giving props out to Mama Graham doing her thing.
I'll get some photos for next week. Also, Kay, real quick, can you check your mic on the Zoom? I think we just all of a sudden you sound closer.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Much, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I wasn't listening.
That's better, yeah. Okay. Awesome. Chels, do you have an ornament that's like you just feel like this is the ornament, like it has to go up, it reminds you of Christmas the most?
Yes. I actually have two. So the first one my aunt gave me a couple years ago, it's in a round ball and there's a snowman in the middle and you put batteries like in a clear ball and the snowman lights up and it changes different colors, or you could just have it on clear. But I just love that ornament so much. And then one that really, really is sentimental to me is this butterfly ornament. And it reminds me of my grandmother, because after my grandmother passed away, I was going through a really hard time. I remember I was sitting in the car, had In-N-Out, and it was just I just need a sign just to know that my grandmother's okay. And this butterfly came and landed on my car on the windshield, and it just stuck around for like 10 minutes. I'd never seen a butterfly so content. And I just felt like that was my sign that my grandmother was okay. And so I got an ornament that had the exact same, it was exact same butterfly. And I have that on top of my tree. So every time I see that, I think of my grandmother. So that those are my top two favorites.
So sweet. I love that story.
Yeah.
I was going to ask the rest of you guys.
Mine's going to sound so goofy now.
I don't know how you follow that up. It's pretty amazing.
I'm like, I mean, my favorite ornament has always been, we are a big Christmas story household. I think I've talked about this before, like we watch it all day on Christmas Day. So we have an ornament that's like the box from the Christmas Story with the leg lamp in it. And it says like fragile on it. And when you open it, it talks. So it says like fragile, must be Italian. So me and my sister used to open and close this ornament all the time, just to like hear talking now it is broken because we've used it so much, but we still put it on the tree. But yeah, that just goes to show, I am a huge fan of like goofy Christmas ornaments, but I think it's fun.
Love it.
Okay, anything?
Well, I think Chelsea's is a really good plan, a really good idea. What we try and do every year is find something memorable that we did that year and make it into an ornament, which is essentially what Chelsea did, right? She had a memorable experience with her grandmother's passing. And then so she made it meaningful by doing the butterfly ornament. And so every year we try and do that. So one year we went to San Francisco and that was a big family trip. So we got a little cable car and we made it into an ornament. And so we haven't done that for this year. We have a friend that made he does like wood cuts. I don't know how else to explain it, with like a laser cutter. And it said, have a very COVID Christmas, or no, baby, it's COVID outside. It was what it says, baby. He did a few of them and he's supposed to be mailing it to us. So that's our 2020 ornament, is the baby, it's COVID outside. But we usually have one for every year. And then the kids, when they were young, would of course make one. So those are kind of our favorites, are the ones with the kids, you know, the little baby face when they were like four, and then the rest of the ornament is like a snowman. My daughter has one of those, and then my other daughter made one out of clay and it's like broken and we've had to like glue it and tape it together. It's always really precarious. That's one of my favorites too.
Yeah, I love that. I have to ask, for, do you guys do the pickle? A pickle on a tree?
I know what it is, but we don't do it.
Okay. We very much do the pickle. So this is, I think it's a German tradition, which I'm not German at all, but I guess maybe some part of me is.
I think, isn't it Italian?
Maybe. Pickles feel more German to me. I'm going to look it up. The pickle on the Christmas tree is the idea of, you know, somewhere on the tree you hide a pickle, and whoever of the kids finds it first gets to open the first gift. The origins... The tradition is commonly believed by Americans to come from Germany and is referred to as the Weihnachtsgürkel, the Weihnachtsgürk.
Oh, yes, of course. Now that you say it like that.
Yes.
Of course.
So that for me has a lot of sentimental value, even though I would never find it.
I'm going to have to try that because
a real actual pickle, or is just like a pickle ornament?
Just a pickle ornament.
Some people do a real pickle. Traditionally, it's a pickle ornament.
Yes.
I like that. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna have to try that because my family's German.
Oh, yes.
My mom's side. So that would be a really cool tradition, especially something to pass along to my children as well. Like, okay, who gets to open the first present? Oh, I like that. I like it a lot.
I am.
It's definitely fun.
It's definitely fun.
A little healthy competition on Christmas morning.
Well, I'm the youngest and I've got two older sisters, and I don't want a gender stereotype, but I'd be curious if you all agree. Typically, women are better at finding things than men. I don't know if you guys think that's true or not, but my sister's always kicked my butt. It's especially with the fridge would be the example, Kay, you're thinking right now. Are you better at finding stuff in the fridge, or is your husband?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm different.
I feel like it's specifically like a mom vision thing, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you can't find something and your mom's like, if I come in there and I see it right away, I'm going to be annoyed. And you're like, I really can't find it. And then it's like, right there.
Yep.
Did your mom used to say that, Erin? I thought that was a Black mom thing.
Oh, well, every mom. It's every mom.
My mom said it too. Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely a mom vision.
Man.
I feel like you have the advantage with height now, Jeff, though. If you were to find a pickle, you could just make sure it was way up top and then they wouldn't get it.
I still suck. We're going to do it this year. And I guarantee you my sisters will find it first. I try. Oh,
Jeff, we want to report. You got to focus. We got to get some where's Waldo exercising in first?
And I look like Waldo too. I should be able to find it, but whatever. It's the only Halloween I ever go. It's the only one I ever look like is Waldo from Where's Waldo. All right. Speaking of mom vision, I would say Hallmark features a lot of mom vision. You can take that statement however you want, but Chels, I want the Hallmark breakdown. What are you watching? What are you loving? What's coming up?
Okay. Ooh, well, I'm loving a lot of it. My favorite one right right now is with Danica McKellar called Coming Home for Christmas. I don't know if I talked about this one yet, but I really like it because she, in the beginning, she loses her job and she has no idea what she's going to do. And it's right before the holiday. She ends up taking this position that she's like, whatever, she's going to be temporary. And not only does it really change her view of life, but also the family that she works for. She's a manager, a house manager. She also changes their point of view too and brings the family closer together. So that one has been on repeat for... I've been watching a couple times throughout the day. I'm not going to lie, to be honest with you. But what is coming up and what I'm loving is this Saturday, December 5th, Christmas in Evergreen. Bells are ringing. This is the franchise with Holly Robinson Pete. And I got the chance to interview Antonio Caon yesterday. And what's really cool about this movie is that the writers is all Black, and they have more of these authentic scenes that they can have with the Black cast members. And you'll have to check out the interview, but when he's talking about it, it is just so cool that we both love the direction that Hallmark is going in. And then it's so important that not only do we have Black actors on the screen, but also behind the scenes as well too. So great that we get to have them be part of the crew, have a table at the writer's seat and put in these authentic scenes that our viewers get to see. So you guys really need to check out Christmas in Evergreen. Bells are ringing. It's going to be a great one.
Chelsea, that was very well presented. Yeah. I'm super excited about that. And it is, you know, it's even Hallmark has changed with the times, and it's about time. So you can see it if you watch the old reruns. I feel like you're like, that extra in the back getting punched does not count as your diversity casting. Like, we need to do better. So
yep.
I'm really glad to hear
that. I love that about behind the scenes too, because you can always totally tell when like a woman or a person of color is just written by a group of like old white men, and you're like, no one ever would ever talk like that. This is just how you think. It's a stereotype that how you think they would talk. Like, I love that. Yeah.
Awesome. Chelsea, I love when you give us suggestions, because I just feel like there's so much content, but for you to be able to point us in the direction of, I'm like, okay, that's on my list. I know you approved it, and if you were like, I watched it twice today, I'm like, okay, I get for sure.
Oh, good. Yeah, I will never point you guys in the wrong direction. I promise.
I love your back. I love it. Well, I have some news I wanted to report. You guys may have seen it, you may have not, but with Christmas and this show in particular, and of course the holidays, not just Christmas, but we always want to be sharing news that feels like it's in the spirit of the holidays. And you've probably seen it, but I just thought it was amazing. The Moderna vaccine, as you guys have probably seen, is 95% effective against mild cases of COVID-19, and it is 100% effective against severe cases of COVID-19. The Moderna trials tested 30,000 people, and not one of them got a severe case of COVID. So I know the pandemic is tough, but with that news, I really feel a lot of hope.
Me too. I am really excited going into 2021. I'm looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I know. And you know what? I'm keeping faith, and I feel like we should keep this show going into 2021, even if it's not the holidays anymore. We can talk about whatever we want, but I would just love to be able to keep talking to you guys. And, you know, as you know, hopefully we can talk in person one time if the COVID vaccine works. We can all hang out together and watch a Christmas movie or something. Oh, that's so exciting. I know. It's such good news.
Well, speaking of good news, let's saddle up the sleigh.
It's getting late, and I've got these letters to deliver. And you better be getting home, too. And remember, behave yourselves.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to A Very COVID Christmas. It's been so much fun to have you. Of course, we featured Carter Osterhaus and Brady Collin, two of the geniuses behind the great Christmas light fight, which you can check out on ABCs at the time they said. ABCs. I love the idea of a TV network being called ABCs.
Yeah.
They should do a spinoff for kids. They used to have ABC Family, ABCs.
ABCs, it's perfect.
Yeah, preschool.
Maybe we can put it together, y'all. That's on ABC and at whatever time they said, which I'm forgetting, but I will put it in the podcast description below. Kay Montgomery, where can we find you? What are you up to?
Yes, sir. You can find me on Instagram at HostK, HostKay. I'm also following the Christmas 24/7. There's some great stuff going on there. Always fun, always uplifting, sometimes hilarious. You guys should definitely be following it too.
Love it. Erin, you run that account.
I do, yes. So I definitely need to remember to post more because I sometimes will get really inspired and then sometimes I won't see anything wrong. But follow the Christmas 247 on Instagram, or you can follow me at Erin Kazwan or at Erin Kazwat on Twitter.
Chelsea.
And then you could find me on Instagram at Chelsea Overocker, on Twitter at Chelsea Overocker, and follow the House of Hallmark. On Instagram, it's House of Hallmark Show, and on Twitter, House of Hallmark. We talk not only about Hallmark, but really inspiring stories too. And yeah, it's just so much fun. I always take away so much after I interview someone. So it's really great.
Love that. I'm definitely going to check out that interview we were just talking about, Chelsea. It sounds very illuminating. I'm really interested to hear about it. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham or Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham. Erin, I think you should post an LED versus soft white light post on IG.
I will.
On the Christmas 24/7 Instagram. And I want our listeners to go to that post and you vote. So vote if you're a soft white or if you're an LED white. That's why you should follow the Instagram, because we're going to go over the results next week on the show. And of course, we will be back next week here on a very COVID Christmas. We'll have Captain Kevin and let me see, Elfie Chelsea, maybe. We got to think of a good name. I feel like we already have Elf Erin, so we'll think of something fun for Chelsea next week. But in the meantime, do everything you can to make every day feel a little bit more like Christmas. That was not right at all, but we're going to get out of here. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Awesome. Bye.
Oh my gosh, that's
funny.
From Chairman Elves, Kevin Undergaro, and Maria Menounos, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Until next time, do your best to make every day Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!